Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, excited for you to be here today. And this is a several part series talking about how to increase the return on investment on your current investment portfolio. Right now, as you know, interest rates are going up. A lot of people are asking me, where are the deals to be had right now? And there are deals to be had right now. I am currently chasing those deals. But the other side of the question is are you currently being a great steward of the investments that you currently have in your portfolio? And this is a great time for you to sit back and look at and analyze, am I getting the most return that I can possibly get on the investment I already have in my portfolio? That is being a great steward of your investment. So stay tuned for this series of how to increase the rate of return on your current investments. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Savvy Investor for the next part of the video series about how to increase the rate of return on your investments. As you know, this video series is focused on helping you become a better steward of your assets. It's not enough just to buy a great asset and set it aside and let it run. We have to make sure that we're getting the most return possible out of our rental properties. So back with me today is Asia Coleman, my partner in crime. She runs Green Management Group in Arizona and does a phenomenal job. We just talked about making sure that we're increasing the revenue on a property. And today we're going to be talking about how to mitigate expenses or avoid creeping maintenance expenses on a property, because no matter how much revenue you're getting, if you're letting your expenses increase at as fast or a faster pace than your revenue, it is a recipe for disaster. And frankly, a lot of times investors aren't keeping P&Ls on their properties, or their property manager's not doing it for them. And they get to the end of the year and they're like, why do I even own this thing? The expenses are outweighing the revenue. So let's talk through this today. Asia, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's just kind of walk through. We bullet pointed a couple of things. We're going to kind of rapid fire through these and just share a couple of different thoughts that hopefully spark something for our savvy investors. So number one is a handyman run through. So there is some huge advantage to having great vendor partnerships that are understand the difference between serving an owner-occupied homeowner versus when they're working for an investor. So talk us through a little bit about, from your perspective, what makes a great handyman partner?
Yeah, our vendor relationships are invaluable. First and foremost, any handyman vendor period that comes on board with us signs a vendor agreement. So they know what our expectations are from them, how they should conduct themselves at the property, what they should be looking for, and things of that nature. I think it's crucial to make sure that anyone that you're having go into your home serve as your eyes when you cannot be there. So our vendors know that they are looking for things like unauthorized pets, being that the pets are listed on our work orders. They know how many occupants should be there. They know they're looking for damages, any odors, any kind of deferred maintenance. So any real red flags that we should be aware of, or you as a homeowner should be aware of.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up some great points. I mean, the truth of the matter is this is if you're an investor self-managing and you only have maybe one or two properties, or you're an owner-occupied homeowner, generally speaking, you're going to pay a higher price because you're a one-time customer. Where someone like us who manages hundreds of properties, we get preferential treatment and we have the ability to set expectations. In essence, all of our vendor partners become our eyes and ears on the property. So if a plumber's walking into a house to look at a garbage disposal, he's not just putting blinders on and walking all the way to the garbage disposal. If he walks in and that tenant happens to be working on their Harley Davidson in the living room because it's too cold outside, like, we're going to get a phone call and say, hey, something's going on that you need to know about, right? I know that's an extreme example, but even down to the little things, if they see something that doesn't make sense, we need to hear about that. And that is the value of having a really great partner. The other thing I think is really important with having a great handyman and doing an occasional just general inspection of the property is a lot of times it's much cheaper to maintain something than wait for it to break and replace something, right? So walk us through a little bit about beyond the vendor inspections, how often should we be doing inspections of a property?
Yeah, so as a general rule, I would say our annual inspection before we actually renew the lease agreement. But with that said, if I'm getting, just like we discussed, a tip from a vendor or multiple HOA violations or something like that, then we're going to need to check, you know, a little bit more frequently. So that's kind of our first point of defense, I would say. Is that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. Because I mean, to that point, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? One thing we've noticed over time is we can have a phenomenal tenant. They do a great job. Everything's going great. The property's in great shape. But what we don't know on our side is, did they lose their job? Did something happen? Did they divorce or whatever it is? Something may happen and that could cause them to show up differently. Mm-hmm. So we have to look for those smokes. If to your point, if we start getting HOA violations, if all of a sudden rent starts coming in late. So if there are those red flag events, then it would cause an additional inspection of the property. And that's where we may be able to find some of these things beforehand, before they become a bigger issue. Let's talk about home warranties. This one is a big debate among investors of whether they should be buying a home warranty or not. And so let's talk through from your perspective, and we'll both share kind of our idea, our thoughts on this. What are your thoughts on home warranties?
So, and you and I have talked about this in the past. I am a fan of home warranties when you are unfamiliar with your property. You know, being that this is a new investment for you and you aren't quite sure what the status is, or if the property and the major appliances are at the time of their life cycle where they will be on their way out.
Yep.
Is kind of when I believe a home warranty is beneficial.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. There's insurances in my life that I'm happy to pay and hope I never need to use. And there's some insurances that I think are just sales pitches to generate revenue, right? Yes. So from an investor standpoint, I'll give you my perspective, which is very similar to Asia here. When I'm buying a property, if I can negotiate into the transaction that the seller is going to provide me a home warranty paid at their expense, I'll generally get that home warranty. And it gives me a 12-month run to become familiar with the nuances of the property. Properties are like kids. Every one of them is just a little bit different, and you have to spend some time around them to understand kind of the nuances, right? And generally speaking, if I'm doing a good inspection of the property, by the time I've operated the property for a year, I've got a good feel of what to expect from it. Generally speaking, I'd say 90%+ of the time, I do not renew the home warranty after the end of the first year, because at that point, I got a feel for what it looks like. Any big major problems I've already dealt with through the home warranty, if they cover it. The only time I would keep it is if like the home warranty company had to repair the AC unit a couple of times and it's like teetering on its last leg. And I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna have to spend $5,000 to replace this thing either this year or the next. I'd rather carry a home warranty for, you know, $300 a year for the next couple of years and take my chances. A little bit of a gamble, but generally speaking, I don't carry one. I mean, I do believe there's a lot of great home warranty companies out there, but they're also in the business of protecting their bottom line. So I feel like even though as a property manager, we deal with home warranty companies all the time, and we're happy to do it for our investor clients if they have a home warranty, is I feel like a lot of times the home warranty company is arguing why it's not covered other than saying, hey, yeah, let's help you out. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, we have a lot of frustration from some of our homeowners where, you know, either that or they feel like the problem is being band-aided throughout, you know, we're going to repair this indefinitely until it just completely dies. So, you know, and then just long turnover times because you're not dealing with, you know, an individual company. So,
yep, love it. Let's move on to HVAC. A lot of our savvy investors know that we do a lot of investing in Arizona, and the AC units take a beating in Arizona. The life expectancy of an HVAC unit in AC is significantly lower than it is in Montana. So the couple things, what are a couple things we should keep in mind and think through in relation to keeping our expenses low as it relates to AC units?
Yeah, I think an AC unit is not an out of sight, out of mind household appliance, especially when you live in Arizona. Um, So what we try to do is before it's 100 degrees, we do two. We do a spring and a fall preseason tune-up where we offer a 20 point inspection on the AC, make sure everything's running efficiently. If there's something that we need to handle, they can make that recommendation then, but it puts you in a better position if it's something that can wait. And B, you're not going to have a tenant displaced in the middle of summer where you've got now vacancy and you've got to pay them.
That is an expense that I think it pays itself back in gold, is just some easy, consistent, minor, just checkup. Partners is one of the things we've trained our AC techs on, is a lot of times an issue that comes up with an AC unit isn't a mechanical faulty problem. Of just maintaining it and specifically talking about changing out the filters on a regular basis. And that, two things with this. Responsibility to change the filters. And then the second side of that is having an AC tech to understand who he works for. When he goes to a property, he does not work for. And so that is who he's protecting. And so one of the things that we make sure our AC techs are doing is they're not only fixing the problem, they're determining the cause of the problem and documenting. And the filters are black, thick, and haven't been changed in months. They're taking pictures of that and documenting that, like, hey, this is caused because the filters are clogged. These filters. Anything else on HVAC, or should we roll into pool equipment?
Yeah, I think you hit everything.
Okay, walk us through where how do we approach pool maintenance and pool equipment?
It's a professional to take care of. We really don't like leaving the pool service in the hands of a tenant for a couple of reasons. A pool is wrong. So we want to make sure that the chemicals are being maintained, there's preventative maintenance, somebody's checking the filters on a regular basis, cleaning the filters, and I believe this is another, the vendor that we use goes bi-weekly. So he is on site multiple times a month letting us know, hey, the landscaping is over. So it's another opportunity to have eyes on your property and make sure that it's being maintained.
Yeah. And one of the things we see all the time is a tenant trying to make the claim of like, I know how to take care of a pool. And if someone's not living there or they know they're moving out in 6 months, all of a sudden their care for the pool decreases significantly, right? And they can maintain a pool cheaply for a certain amount. And we'll talk about landscaping in a minute. This falls under the same scenario. From my perspective, is I would rather control how those things are being maintained through our vendor, and increase the tenant rent. Right. So the tenant's in essence paying for it, but we're controlling the quality in which it's getting done. And we also have our partner there that's keeping our eyes out for the things that we should be worried about. Right.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So that being said, anything else about landscaping that we should keep into consideration?
Yeah, I think landscaping is another one of those items where it's only an issue when it's an issue. Specifically larger trees. We see a lot of times homeowners not necessarily doing preventative maintenance, servicing their trees regularly. This is an issue for a number of reasons. Trees are, the larger they get, the more expensive they are to take care of. So what could have been a, you know, a $500 situation has now turned into $1,000 or $1,500. And I've seen more. We all know what happens in Arizona specifically. Well, I guess we don't all, but if you're a native, you know that monsoon season is a big problem for us and we have big branches fall off. Then we've got damaged trees. It could fall on your home. So huge risks associated with that, aside from the cost.
Yep. And that's something too. There's the majority of the landscape maintenance. We like to make sure that the tenants are aware of that. They are responsible for making sure that the day-to-day maintenance of the landscaping, the sprinklers are their responsibility. I like to have someone come, or I like to make the tenant responsible for maintaining the landscaping and making sure we're clear on what our expectations are around on that. But some of those bigger items is I still own them as a landlord. Like if some of the big trees that need to be trimmed, that's not my expectation that the tenants take care of that. And I'd rather just keep up on it every couple of years and make sure that the property's looking good, it's sharp. And I'm setting the standard for my tenant to maintain on a day-to-day basis within that property.
Absolutely.
So let's talk briefly around smoke detectors. I just think it's important, particularly because a lot of people forget that they forget about smoke detectors until they're chirping. And then
Zoom meeting.
yeah. Or for some reason, I don't know why smoke detectors decide to start chirping at like 2 o'clock in the morning,
right,
instead of 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But we forget about them until they're chirping. And then we switch out the batteries and then we leave them be. One thing that we forget about, particularly in our rental properties, because they're not our own kids sleeping in the other room, is smoke detectors have an expiration date. So that's one of the things that's really important, particularly when you're doing annual inspections on the property, is keeping aware of when are those smoke detectors due to be replaced. And again, that's something that as a landlord, I want to make sure that I'm replacing. And then the expectation is the tenant is maintaining them. So if I'm documenting when I, as a landlord, invested in and switched out smoke detectors in a property, well, I may have replaced them this year. And then on the next tenant turnover, I go and maybe the battery ran out and they didn't have a 9-volt battery. So what does the tenant do with the smoke detector in the event they don't have a 9-volt battery?
They leave.
They take it off and then they put it in a drawer. And then when they move, they take that chest of drawers and put it in a moving truck and it's gone.
Yep.
And so I need to charge the tenant for that the replacement of the smoke detector. But it's important for me to understand, hey, am I within compliance of when these smoke detectors are being installed, and do I have proof of installation, right? That's the other thing a tenant's famous for, like there was no smoke detector there, right? Let's talk a little bit about pets. Everyone loves their pets and everyone thinks their dog or cat is perfect, but not everybody's is, right? And so we know that pets can cause a significant amount of damage, both to landscaping, to property, to door jams. We've seen it all. To carpet, oh my goodness. The smell of carpet in a home that hasn't had AC on in a couple of days and has pet urine in it is something to avoid for the rest of your life. But what are some things we do in relation to pet deposit, pet fee, and how do we mitigate that?
Yeah, before we even get to the pet fee, what I know that separates our team anyway is we are having a live conversation with the previous landlord and asking about the pet and ask how the home was when the pet left, just to make sure that everything's in line. A lot of things we see is, you know, people have no pets when they apply, but when we talk to the landlord, there was a pet. So usually, you know, those are red flags. So making sure that we're screening the pet before getting in the door. Then after that, making sure that you're charging accordingly. We know average carpet cleaning costs, things of that nature. So we elect to do a non-refundable pet fee for the first pet. We charge $400. That goes directly to the homeowner to cover those costs when the tenant moves out. And then if there are additional pets after that, we do a refundable deposit per pet.
Awesome. And one of the things that I've got asked the question before is just by you charging a pet fee, if you call it a pet fee, then it is basically like it's pet rent. You're collecting that, and that is revenue passed through to the owner regardless of whether you need to make repairs or not. And it doesn't exclude you from being able to make a claim against the security deposit for any pet damage.
That is correct.
Okay. So it's really important based on the state you're in to understand the language around pet fee, pet deposit, how they're structured, how it's stated in the lease of their purposes and all of that. Anything else on pets?
Just making sure that there is a pet addendum associated with your lease agreement, outlining your responsibilities as a pet owner.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that is really important. Property management markup. This is one of the things that I feel like property managers take advantage of landlords, where they say, this is our fee to manage the property. And anytime there's repairs on the property, we also get an additional markup on top of the property management fee. Well, that does not feel good. I don't want a property manager that gets excited every time they got to send a vendor out to the property. And then if that vendor gives two choices of repairs and one of them's $200 and one of them's $800, then thinking, well, on the $800 repair, I make more money than the $200 repair. So I'm going to recommend to the owner we do the $800 repair. Now, I'm not saying that all property managers are dishonest and going to do that, but it just doesn't feel good to me it wouldn't feel good to me to have a property manager that was basically double dipping and saying, hey, yeah, you pay me to manage the property and the vendors, but by the way, when a vendor does do repair, I also get a cut on every one of those deals. So it's one of those things I think everyone needs to be aware of as they look at their property management agreement is, how are they actually paying the property manager, and are they paying a fair price for the repairs to get done? What are some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that exhibits a partnership, which I think is what kind of separates our company and our philosophy, is we want to be a partner to you. We want to be an asset to you. And I don't want to be incentivized for your property to fall apart. You know, I want to do my job. I want to implement these preventative maintenance steps so that, you know, you're in the green every single month and we're not having to send vendors out regularly.
Yep. And I think it's important too, where to work with a property management company that does enough business that we understand pricing, right? So for example, like we basically know what it's going to cost or what it should cost us at a discounted rate to replace the garbage disposal. And keep in mind, again, some of those are tenant responsibilities that passed on to the tenant, but whatever it is, in the event that it's a higher dollar repair, then we feel an obligation that we should be getting multiple prices for it, particularly if it's not something that's consistent, right? That we feel like that's part of a property manager's job to make sure that the repairs are getting done correctly by a licensed contractor at a fair price. And I feel like that doesn't happen a lot of times, particularly if there's an opportunity that the property manager is making additional money based off the cost of the repair.
Absolutely. I think our team, you know, feels a real obligation to hold, you know, we want to hold our vendors accountable, and we want to make sure our homeowners are getting the best pricing. So if that involves having to shop around and, you know, being educated on what standard pricing is, that's what we do.
Love it. Okay. Last bullet point here is the importance of documentation. Realistically, in today's world, no matter what state you live in, even if you're in a very landlord-friendly state, in the event that there's if there's an argument or a disagreement on the pre-existing condition versus the post-condition agreement, if the documentation is not there, generally speaking, it will fall in favor of the tenant's argument. So one of the most important things with any of these, between the vendors, between the inspections, whatever that looks like, documentation is key, because you're going to have to be able to show like, I hear what you're saying, but my pictures and my inspection report say otherwise. Walk us through the importance of that.
Yeah. So if my team were here, they'd all be laughing at me because how strongly I emphasize notes and making sure that everybody is documenting what is happening step by step. And that goes from start to finish. So opening the work order, making sure that if we don't have enough detail when a tenant submits a service request, that we're going back to the tenant, asking for photos, asking for more information, and making sure that we have the full story. you know, then the next step, making sure that the vendor is documenting A, what the problem is, B, who they believe, you know, this problem falls on. Is this a tenant responsibility due to neglect or, you know, deferred maintenance from the homeowner? And then making sure that once the problem is repaired, we will not pay an invoice if we do not have photo documentation that that has been completed. So making sure that that is there. I wish I could say that I've never had to go to court for a tenant dispute, but we've always been successful because our documentation has always been there to support our claim.
Yeah, it's funny, a lot of times too, we'll get challenged like, fine, we'll see you in court. And then we send like, hey, you might want to look at these reports first. And then their attorney's like, what
don't
are you
do
doing?
It.
don't do this. Like, yeah, you can pay me if you want, but we're not going to win. And so I think that's important. One other piece of that is in line with the documentation is the pre-move-in checklist that the tenant fills out, right? So it's really interesting.
What's that? Well, we go a step beyond. We obviously let the tenant fill out a move-in checklist, but before that tenant even walks through that property, before they even receive keys, my team is walking through doing a full inspection with photo documentation, and then we hand keys over.
Yep, and both of those are important to coincide, right? In the event that a year, 2 years later when the tenant's moving out, they might be like, oh, well, that cabinet was busted when I moved in. Then we say, well, we said it wasn't. And look, you said it wasn't either, right?
Exactly.
So like both those pieces are really important. And it's funny in the time, and I think a lot of people that self-manage run into this problem is because they're like, I'm so excited about my tenant. They're so friendly. We love each other. We're going to be lifelong friends. And that is great until 8 months later, you're chasing rent, things like that. Then you forget about all the little things. You're like, oh, I'll remember these things in 2 years when they're moving out. It's just not realistic. It's important to have the documentation in place.
And it protects both parties.
What's that?
It protects both parties, tenant and landlord.
It protects both parties. I thought you said it, and it calls for a pool party. And I was like, all right, I like pool parties too. So this whole episode is we ran through a lot of different things, but these are the areas that we see those expenses creeping up. And again, we talked about how to increase your revenue, but again, the key here is how do we manage expenses in a way? And notice some of the things that we talked about, some of the expenses that you have to put in your property are wise to do, but you want to mitigate the amount of expenses going out while revenue is increasing, which in return is going to increase your rate of return on investment. Asia, thanks again for being here today to help us walk through this. If any of you have properties in Arizona that you would like Asia and her team to manage at Green Management Group, Asia, how do they get a hold of you?
Visit our website, greengroup.biz, or email me directly, asia@greengroup.biz.
And if you're not in the Arizona market, make sure that the property manager that you choose, it's your responsibility as a savvy investor to make sure that your property manager is operating from an investment mentality. Take some of your notes from this conversation and ask them questions. What do you think about home warranties? How do you deal with pool maintenance? How do you tell me about your vendor relationships? Do you have markup? Now, these are questions that they're not going to come out and say, do you want to know about home warranties? Do you want to know how we deal with markup? It's your job as a savvy investor to ask the questions. I encourage you to ask the questions of your property manager, or if you're going to self-manage, make sure you understand these at a high level to protect your return on investment. Enchilada Nation, this has been another episode of the series on how to increase the rate of return on your current investments. I'm hoping you took great notes. Be sure if you want to watch the video to go to thewholeenchilada.biz. You'll be able to see the video there for any of the screen shares that I did during the conversation. And don't forget to go follow us on social media at The Whole Enchilada. And we're thankful that you're here, and go live life on your terms.